Music used on the Black Cat Lounge is done so with the grateful permission of the artist.
Another edition of What Else the Black Cat Lounge here, and I am, as always, your most congenial host, and I have a lot of fun and interesting facts tonight, as our guest is someone whom we all know and absolutely love. Before I bring him on, just quickly, I want to mention that on October 10th, I'll be at the East Aurora Music Room for an evening of music and mediumship with the melodious strains of Lonesome Lucky, otherwise known as Eric Charles. Tickets are $20. And you can find more information, as well as anything else, on our website at www.theblackcatlounge.net. Hey, my guest tonight is one half of probably the most influential filmmakers of the thriller, horror, docudrama genre of all time, my friends. All time. Today, together with his brother Philip, they have told some of the stories that are so poignant, so emotional, and yet they're unsettling, and they're just phenomenal. Be it the tragedy of an orphan train, the restless souls of an asylum, the pain and suffering experienced on the American reservations and schools, the wandering and mysterious switching of personalities of a deceased girl from her soul into a living person. Oh my God, it goes on and on and on. They also have really... They've stretched themselves. They do films. They do these wonderful, wonderful docudramas. My favorite, of course, is The Haunted Boy, which is the true and tortuous details behind one of America's most beloved yet scary movies, The Exorcist. This guy, our guest tonight, has never been afraid to tackle any of these forbidden subjects. He and his brother Philip have also garnered rave reviews for a project that was broadcast on Sci-Fi Channel named, what else? Dead Still, which I personally loved. I absolutely loved it, and I even owned the DVD. Tonight, Chris is here to chat about his new book, Paranoia. I love it. The Strange Case of Ghosts, Demons, and Aliens. So please, my friends, please, everyone, welcome back to the lounge. Filmmaker, photographer, musician, bon vivant, and now author, Mr. Christopher St. Booth. Welcome back, my brother, to the show. It is so wonderful, wonderful to hear your voice again.
Well, thank you very much. It's been quite a while, definitely. And you know what we need to add to the list of things I do? I just rebuilt the top of my Jaguar so we can say mechanic now, too.
You are a jack of all trades and master of all trades, and that's what I love about you, Chris. I mean, you really... You know, you're one of those people that aren't afraid to get their hands dirty, and no matter what you do, you're multifaceted. And what is so, so beautiful about it is you're such a positive and loving soul that inspires everyone by your posts on Facebook and social media and how you face adversity and how you really just make it a point to get out there and be a part of everyone, especially when you go to all the events. And one of these days... I swear to God, Chris, I promise you, we're going to meet up at one of these events when our schedules finally mesh together. Hey, I got to thank you for a copy of the book, and I'm going to tell you what, I've read it, and I'm telling everybody out there right now, buy his book. This is a phenomenal book. It's a really good look into the life of Christopher Booth, not just the filmmaker, not just like little anecdotes about different different films and some of the experiences we're going to talk about tonight. But also, this is a guy that really feels it. And what I was amazed by, I did not know that you and Philip had really ghostly experiences from a very early age. Isn't that true?
Yeah, it's strange because, I mean, I say the word strange, we've all had one, I think, or more, obviously, before we even got involved into the paranormal. But to actually have one together, you know, a spectral vision with four eyes, so to speak, and actually both of us be screaming at the same time, seeing the same thing, was very solid for us to realize that this was really going on. And of course, I use the word professional in the sense we didn't really get into the paranormal until we got down to Waverly and started doing Death Tunnel and then Spooked. But having those insights before, it should have been a sign what we're heading to. But it was very scary, but also very beautiful at the same time, that first experience we had.
I really thought it was fascinating that when you shared this, I was floored, because you actually had a true vision where you saw the ghost of your grandfather's dog and your grandmother. I got to ask you, how did that affect you? And I mean, how does it affect you today as an adult?
Well, I mean, I think it was the first feeling. We were scared at the time. I think my mom was more mesmerized, realizing that what we had just seen, she had just died on the other side of the, you know, in England. She was dying and had died in England, and we had seen her overseas, I mean, on the other side of basically the world where we were living at the time we had immigrated over. So she was very overwhelmed that we had described everything that was going on. And I think now, you know, as I look back at it, now that I'm involved in the paranormal and believe in it, that it's a very warm feeling. Of course, at that time, I think, especially when you're young, you're very frightened. I think that's all changed nowadays due to what's going on in the media, and everybody also is trying to find something more to believe in than life, because life is pretty tough out there right now. So, I definitely think it's the more you understand about the afterlife, the more you understand about your life. So it's a very important situation.
Do you think that this early experience really, and I know all of us have those experiences and we kind of put them in the back burner, but do you think that experience back then has really made you more aware, and also perhaps you have a better, beautiful outlook on the world around us? And like you say, it's a tough world out there. We're all struggling. Every one of us is struggling out there. Do you think that that really helped you a little bit in order to go and cope with everything that goes on around us now?
I guess I called it two steps to heaven. Every 2 years you grow in your life. I believe I talk about a lot of the early soul searching in the book, but obviously the one thing that really changed my life was when I had played Jesus,
yes,
in a rock and roll music video. That would be my first epiphany, so to speak, I'm using the word spiritual sign, because a lot of people believe in different religions and different situations. It's not really pushing a God to seek as much as it is a spiritual existence. And I think when I had played Jesus in a rock and roll video, and then, of course, what happened when I was playing, and really opened my eyes to spirituality.
I really think that this was something that was beyond the vision for you. This was something that was emotionally earth-shaking. Could you share everybody your feelings when they had, you know, they had positioned you on the cross, and they had tied you in to make sure that, you know, you weren't injured when they raised it? That peak moment when they brought it up, and all of a sudden you had this flood of emotions. What was that like?
Well, I mean, to set up the story, and of course it's in detail in the book, we were doing, I think it was the end of the 90s, beginning of the 2000s or somewhere around that, we were making a music video. We were doing music videos for other people, obviously, as a post-house, post-production house, but we also had our own rock and roll band. It was like Guns N' Roses. So, you know, who was the most ultimate father and son, but, you know, obviously God and Jesus, and the song was called Like Father, Like Son, which was written about our father. And he was, you know, being English, he was kind of cold, so to speak, when we're English. So he'd never been able to say what he needed to say because he was kind of in his shell. So the song was basically about, you know, don't wait till the end to tell somebody that you love them, that you care. So, you know, well, let me be like, you know, father, like son. So we went out to do that, and obviously I played Jesus, and it was about... Hello.
Hello. I think Skype is having fun with us, my friend.
Oh, it's okay. It's a biblical story. These are biblical proportions. That will happen.
It will. And people don't realize
it. I'm not sure where I left off at. Where did I drop off at?
Well, it was where you were really understanding that, you know, as you were being raised. The story of the father and the son, and how you shouldn't wait to the end. You should say how you really feel about a person now while they're still here and not when they're gone.
Yeah, well, we were playing, obviously, you know, we went out to do the death to do the music video, and we shot for 7 days, and on the seventh day was a crucifixion. It was beautiful through those 7 days in the desert, but on the seventh day it started to rain. The skies were really black, and it was almost on the verge of thunder, and it was raining. So that was the day we did the crucifixion. So already I felt like, oh my God, here we go. You know, it's just scary, and I felt like, oh, maybe I shouldn't do this. Maybe this is a sign. All that stuff that happened. So, but you know, we got to do it. On the other crew there, we had 40 extras in biblical dress, and we have to shoot this video. So here's the answer. We drive to location, there it is, the crucifixes, three of them, or the big wooden crosses are put up in the rocks, and I'm going to be tied on one of them. So they lift me up and they tie me to the cross, and it's just, you know, the sky is terrible, it's really black, it feels terrible outside. So suddenly I go up there and we start shooting, and suddenly the sky opened up. And it was almost like a circle above the cross that I was portraying Jesus on. And the light came down right above me, and shone the cross in a complete circle. Everybody freaked out. I mean, just everybody in the crowd, all the extras just went, this is really happening. And I went, oh my God, my heart dropped and all that. And then I just kind of closed my eyes, and I think I felt, even if it was only for a millisecond, it was like an epiphany of just all this information, this beauty in that. And so after we had finished that, I had gotten off the cross and everything was different. I had climbed down and everything was beautiful. It was more beautiful. The sun was shining now and the grass was greener that was on the side of the rocks, and the people's smiles were bigger, and the animals that we used in the show, they were just so vibrant. Everything was so much more vibrant. Everything was so more... absolutely beautiful. And I was 33 at the time I played that, which of course is the age that Jesus had died. So it was just, you know, that was the start of the spirituality, I think, because it was so real. I mean, many months after, you could keep spirituality faith, and that's a rough thing, that's,
right.
That's a bad side of it. But once you practice it and also keep growing on it, faith, I mean, you start to dwell and start, you know, I guess getting into that unspiritual couch potato after a while. So you really need to keep, you know, enlightening yourself, surrounding yourself with the right people, surrounding yourself with the right environment. And obviously, you know, after about 4 or 5 months, some of that spirituality faded. But it didn't fade enough for the time, because my mother was passing from cancer. And of course, I was so enlightened from the experience in the desert playing Jesus that I was very positive and very helpful to my mom to be able to let go and move on, because she had cancer and it wasn't good, and she was dying. So it was easier for everybody when you're enlightened to understand everything's just got a date stamp, and we have to realize that, you know, we're only here for a certain time.
Right.
You know, electronics only happen at a certain amount of time, food only lasts, friends, everything, a job, a career, you know, it doesn't matter what it is, everything only has a certain amount of time, and there's no reason to be upset about that, because it's beyond our control. And once you realize that, you should, you know, like in a relationship.
Exactly.
You know, with a girl or a boy or whatever, it doesn't matter what we're into, you know, you get upset when you break up with your woman, so to speak, you know? And you go, and then you call them their names, you're upset because they're not working. You've been trying for years to make it work in marriage or whatever it may be. And you don't know why it's not working. You keep trying, it's not working. Because it's not meant to work. They'd only had so much time. Instead of destroying each other in the process, you should just say, that was really great what we went through those 2 years, or maybe it wasn't, because you should have saw the date stamp sooner, and you would have moved on, and you just, you know, you love the person for the time that they're in your life. And once they're not in your life, you know it, because it doesn't work anymore. And we need to realize that.
Exactly.
And that makes life so much easier to make the right decision.
You know, what I really walked away from your book with, and I, again, Christopher Booth has written Paranoia, and he is if you love the movies of the Booth brothers, there's a lot of anecdotes in there. However, you can really get a good feel of who Christopher is, because Christopher is such a spiritual being, and that's what I love about him, and that's why I love to have him on the show. Because people miss that. People are always looking at the fantastic Booth brothers, the thrill, the genre. But when we start stripping that away, Christopher is so much more than that. Let's just talk a little bit about some of your movies and some of the anecdotes. Dark Place, and I love that film. It was a lot of fun. It was made in the former hospital, and I really enjoyed it, the way you guys kind of put yourselves into it. But there you found yourself in a situation where you were having a paranormal experience during the shoot. Now, my question to you, Christopher, is having had this experience early as a child and having this peak moment when you were filming this crucifixion, this error, you know, the scene, did what was going on during the filming of Dark Place, did this freak you out at all, or was this like something that just added into your repertoire of ghostly visions and made you feel a little bit more comfortable, that as if this is evidence that shows that there is something beyond death?
I think that once you're hooked, you're hooked. And when we went to Waverly and I had felt the intuition, and of course that intuition made me take a picture, in turn made me record audio, and then when you listen to it back, whether you listen to it, you know, live, or you listen to it, you know, weeks later, you feel it and you hear it, and it goes that right to your body. If you've ever had a ghost walk through you, it's the most uplifting experience you could ever have. It was very similar to the one as far as the one I did when I had played Jesus on Tiffany, where you know that there's something more than what we have here. It makes you completely vulnerable to happiness, to positivity, to faith, hope. Seeing a paranormal situation, which was in Waverly, which was a little girl inside when I was down at the bottom of the tunnel, and I felt something very oppressive and very, very horrifying, very sad. I took a photo and I ran up to the top of the tunnel, and of course I threw up at the top. I had no idea what was going on. A week later, when I looked at that photograph, I found myself standing in front of what appeared to be a little girl that had hollowed out eyes, and on my audio recorder there was a scream. But it was all triggered by my intuition to take that photo, to record that audio. And that, of course, is our best gift in life, is our intuition, which we need to listen more to. So once you're hooked and you see your first spectral vision or figure, or ghost, however you want to call it, you are hooked. And then you want to find more, you want to find out more, and then you become, you know, very enthralled. And you get into it, and that's what we did. And at that point, I started taking lots of pictures in very scary places and trying to find more out what really goes on in that other world. And then we were hooked.
Now, all these experiences, let's just lump them all together now. How does that add into your spirituality? And emotionally, do you feel that it helped you understand what other people are going through? And I'm asking this question, I'm kind of building on it, because of the fact that anybody that follows you, through social media, knows that you're one of the only people that continuously posts such uplifting sayings constantly. Do you feel that this has helped you just dealing with people? And sometimes, and let's face it, anybody that's in the media, myself included, we suffer the slings and arrows of really absolute nastiness. That's the best way we can describe it. Do you think that this has helped you deal with like some of your critics or people that just don't like you and what you do?
Well, I mean, I think people that don't like each other in general don't understand what that other person is about. I think what's really beautiful is you really enjoy what you do. People that will come to you, and those are the people you need to hang around. I think we spend far too much time trying to be something we aren't, and end up hanging around with people that we're not. I mean, I just got back from a great show, Scarefest, and the people there are so beautiful. I mean, I can't believe, I almost know everybody, you know, over 5,000 friends alone on Facebook. I pretty much know them all by the first name when I see them, because I interact with them. And there's always people that you want to say hi to and get to know. And there's this one star that I wanted to say hello to. And she was a little bitch. You know, she came across like a little bitch. And I kind of got, my ego kind of got hurt at the beginning, I guess. I'll use the word ego and pride, mm-hmm. because, you know, you really want it. But then I realized, I became that critic, that I'm not meant to know that person. Or interact with that person or learn something from the person, in the sense that I don't need to be around that kind of person that has that sort of an attitude. And before, I would used to be bummed out about it. Maybe I would go call her, you know, a bitch all night or something. But this time I realized it just came that quick that I'm not meant to be around that kind of a person.
Exactly.
They were rude, and they didn't need to be, but, and I know that people get like that when they're tired, and, you know, one thing maybe not going wrong, but at the same time, I think when you're conscious and you practice, obviously watching what you say, watching what you think, being the person that you're meant to be from the fullest potential, you can control that and bring things that are good into your life, so... You don't want to have people that are bitches in your life, and you use it far more open for people that are beautiful. So everything I've learned helps me, you know, walk through the weeds, so to speak.
And our guest tonight is the one and only Christopher Booth, and we're going to be talking about his latest project, his book, Paranoia. The book. Why do you think that you... What inspired you to write it, and why at this time... Do you feel that it was the proper time to share it with everyone?
Because I think we've been filming, I think, for like 10 years straight, it seems, with small breaks in between. And I think I haven't had a lot of time, but at the same time, there were a lot of things we couldn't get out on film, whether it was due to the budget, whether it was due to the fact that we ran out of time, or it was due to the fact that it was too sensitive and a lot of people wouldn't touch certain subjects or air it. you know. So writing the being able to author it, writing it was able to, the safety net kind of came off, and at the same time, there's a lot of stuff that happened that I really wanted to share.
No.
And that's what happened. I started saying, you know, when we did the show, we thought, you know, say from Dark Place, you know, when I was working in the old VA hospital and I experienced my first crazy person that got loose in the thing and how it affected me to the point, you know, then we went to Waverly and then I started getting into the paranormal, and then I was going to the children's orphanages and having experiences with EVPs with babies, you know, obviously ghost children, and just the effects of that compared to actually the extra story and getting the dark entities and the demons, and then also seeing extraterrestrial situations when I was living in Malibu that were flying over the water compared to even what they were hiding in the woods and stuff like that. All this is just truly things that have made me. And you know what's really great about it, James, and I recommend it for anybody, when you start writing down your story, and it can be, anybody can write their story, you can find how truly fascinating and exciting it really is, that what everybody's gone through, and you start to get to know yourself really well, and then you start to like yourself again. Because we all have those moments that we can't stand ourselves, mm-hmm. and we want to be somebody else, or you know, sometimes that is very good, because we obviously become better because of it. But I think it was a beautiful thing for me to get it out. It was like, basically, you know, getting out all the stuff inside me so I could move on and bring new stuff in me. And now I'm actually just finishing up a new cookbook that I just finished that's going to come out in October. It's a small one, but it's to do with something that we're involved in October. And it's just flowing, and the fact I think I get to push my spiritual vibe out to everybody, because I do it all the time on radio interviews, and I do it in my conferences and seminars, but I don't write about it. And I wanted to express when people are feeling down and people are not feeling adequate, you know, and whether ego or pride involved, or they're just truly being demeaned or condescended by it, not very good human beings, what we can do. And I think all that, you know, mixed with the paranormal is in that book. And I think you can't have afterlife without having a line.
Exactly.
That's how it became.
Now, Christopher, after this fantastic journey that you're undertaking, you know, we're all on a journey. We're all on our own life's path. After what you have seen, after what you've experienced time and time again, all the people whom you interact with and you've met, what's the most important thing that you allowed to become part of yourself, an intrinsic part of yourself?
Just to be a better person, you know, to be very thoughtful and not to judge in everything. You know, I've said this before, but you meet a lot of very arrogant people in the paranormal business, especially the ones who have been on TV for 15 minutes.
true.
You know, without pulling them down, you realize what they're really looking for. Maybe somebody's upstaging them, and they're upset about it, and they haven't got over that yet. Once they get over it, they might become back to becoming a nice person again, but you can't expect to go into the paranormal arena and contact the afterlife when you can't even communicate with life. If you can't communicate with the person next to you and have a very spiritual discussion, how are you expect to have one with the afterlife? Of course, I understand it depends on the people that you're with, and if you can't do that with the people you're with, there's your sign that you need to find the right people to be with. Otherwise, you're wasting your time and their time when you could be truly growing into the flower that you were meant to be from the very beginning of time.
Exactly. Exactly. And so well stated. So well stated. I have a question from our chat room. Zombie Road, the photograph of the shadowy children and the dangers of your hiking that actual road. When it was all said and done, you're back sitting in your hotel room, and I know you've covered this in your book, but this is a great chat room question. What was going through your mind after going to that site where that photograph, that shadowy photograph of all those children in the woods was taken? What were your emotions?
I kind of like seeing a UFO for the first time. It wasn't really like a ghost. And I go in, as you know, if you've read the book or if you kind of get it, it goes into in-depth of actually going from extraterrestrial, from their shadow figures. But it didn't feel like we had seen ghosts because it was more of a nest of shadows. It felt to me like we had opened up a realm, maybe a paradigm realm or something that was in there, that's something that's around all the time that is watching. So it was a very much, as far as, you know, my ego loved it because I felt that we captured something truly outstanding that was very righteous in the paranormal arena and supernatural world of proving there is evidence of the supernatural, the extraterrestrial, whatever it may be. But at the same time, it was also very, very scary because you know that you're not alone. You really could prove that because, you know, it's like if you blink your eye, it's like a Doctor Who or something. You blink your eye and it's there, and when you blink, when you open it, it's gone.
Right.
So every time you blink, there's something there. And because it's moving so fast, I mean, one of the incredible pictures I had just captured, and it wasn't planned, was we had just did Ashmore State.
Yes.
Because we've been on the road for a little while, and I posted a picture because I'd walked through during the day and just wanted to take some pictures and, kind of do some art on the beautiful hallways and the building that's just so timely. And I'd gotten a blurred picture, and I was going to delete it, and when I had blown it up, it wasn't blurred at all. It was a complete picture that had a circle, almost like a tornado with a clear center. And it was truly the version of a wormhole, a vortex, or a portal, or however you want to call it. That's the only way to describe it, because it was complete, like it was in a twister. And there was no Photoshop done to it or anything. It was like live on my phone. I took it on my phone, and there's no way to recreate it. And I have a brand new phone that takes 4K video, 16 megapixels. Megapixels, pictures, sorry. And it's a fabulous camera on the phone. That's why I bought this new phone, because it's a great camera. And it's I posted it on Facebook, and people have blown away with it. And I still am very blown away with it. Nobody can come up with an answer to what it is, except for saying that it seems that you've caught yourself a wormhole. Well, with that said, Tim, imagine, I'm thinking, okay, what happened when I captured that picture? Well, all I was doing was I was taking a shot of the hallway, taking a shot here, taking a shot there, maybe a couple of seconds in between. And then obviously that one shot, I caught that whirlwind.
Right.
And I couldn't see it in real life. So there is, a concept of what you can capture in I don't even see, not even those seconds between the corner of the eye or between the blink, or what really is. And of course, some people say that's how the spirits enter. It's through those wormholes, through those portals, those vortexes. And it's just a fascinating something I would love to get more into. But those are the kind of things that are very exciting and very rewarding as somebody in the paranormal realm that we love to capture. And not just necessarily, though we did get some great lifetime EVPs, we had heard a little girl say, hi, saying right. Hello, and somebody said hi, and said, who said that? He said, well, I didn't say it. Nobody said anything, but we did. Two of the people out of the five heard it. So we played back live, and there was this little girl saying hi. I just love that when that happens, because we felt someone walk through it, because that, to me, is that's what life's all about, energy and spirit. And as much as they take energy to manifest themselves, when they walk through it, they give you the energy back. And I would hope to think the inspiration to make, your life better and, continue to make, be good to people and create a better world.
Now, the haunted boy, And again, I love the chapter about when you start talking about it, because that's one of my favorite Booth Brothers films, because of the fact that I grew up. That's probably one of the first horror movies that I actually saw as a kid. And The Haunted Boy is a phenomenal documentary about that whole unfortunate child, that boy that suffered so much. Well, was that a real difficult movie to make?
Which movie was that? I'm sorry, you cut out at the
end. Oh, I'm sorry. The Haunted Boy. The Haunted Boy.
Yeah, it was. In fact, there's something that we're doing in October that's going to confirm that again. Sort of a revisit. And actually, that's why I've been looking actually all day in the studio creating something that involves that story, that, you know, the real diary that goes through the real diary. If you've ever had the chance to read the real diary of The Exorcist.
Yes.
I mean, not just breathe through it in some sense, actually then read it. It is very shocking. It's very scary. And that, obviously, that story has never gone away, and it will never go away. It's the scariest film I've ever seen in my life. We've done very well as far as documenting that and then obviously releasing it theatrically, putting it on DVD, giving away the diary with it as well.
Yes.
Putting it on in Redbox. And now it's, anybody wants to see it, it's also on iTunes. It's on Amazon Instant Video, and it's also on our own website, spooktv-od.com. But it's done very well in the sense of documenting stuff that we didn't know about what really happened down there. So being in that house, realizing that's where it all happened, and it's not. I was talking to Chip Coffey at Scarefest. Of course, he's heading there in Halloween and
yes.
to do the live Destination America. The Exorcist live at Destination America at the house that we did our movie at, our show, Haunted Boy, The Exorcist File. And with Ghost Asylum, they're all going to go there and do an exorcism on the house. And a lot of them seem very frightened, you know, when I was at Scarefest talking to them about it. And also very fascinated. And of course, it was my job as a documentarian and a storyteller, a true storyteller, where this comes to play, and also paranormal enthusiast, to explain to them what we found and show them what we found and share with them the information that we did. I talked to the producers of the show as well, and they were very sweet, they were very cool, and they were very excited about using some of our footage in that show.
Awesome.
That's coming up.
Awesome.
On October 30th. So we licensed some of the movie Haunted Boy to them, as well as we'll be doing some interviews with them too on that live night. So that's going to be very exciting as well. So that's a story that never goes away. And it, obviously you've read the book, you saw the aftermath of what happened to
yes.
me in the, in the hotel room, but people might get the wrong idea. But it was like, it was a very, one of the first times and the only time that I have been attacked by an unseen
yes.
force. So, you know, we were very excited. A month ago, we went to Los Angeles, out of all places, living in LA for 30 years, never investigating in Los Angeles. And there we are, investigating the Cecil Hotel downtown LA, where all that crazy stuff had happened throughout the many years. Sort of the inspiration behind the American Horror Hotel, that hotel is. And dealing with that dark energy, you got a hotel with 600 to 700 rooms. A lot of them are closed down, but say 600 rooms are still, you know, active. And with a positive suicide, there were six of them, two serial killers lived there, including Elizabeth Short from Black Dahlia.
Yes.
Was there. Richard Ramirez hung out there. A woman found murdered, attacked, raped, and stuffed in a mattress. Of course, the latest, Elisa Lam, disappearing in the elevator, nobody seeing, finding her until 2 weeks later, found naked and dead in the water tank after the residents of the hotel had bathed and drank her body fluids to the water system. We had to do that case. We had to.
Right.
I'm so enthralled with that case. So we were shooting a pilot for our own show. Philip and I had been approached by a network. So we went down there and started shooting it, and we shot that. And it was incredible. I mean, it was scary. It was twisted. It was confusing in the sense of what is really going on here. Is it supernatural? Is it true crime all the way? But why are all these people drawn to such a dark past in a hotel room? So these stories never get explained, and they never end. And The Exorcist, I think, is one of those that really was never explained fully. A lot of people, you know, believe it was a true state of possession. And a lot of people believe that it was just a boy who was mentally, you know, deranged. I have my feelings on it, especially after rereading the diary today and working on it. So these cases are fascinating, and these are the big cases that we like to delve in, whether it's Waverly Sanatorium, the Exorcist case, or, you know, A Nest of Children. We like to do the epic stuff because I think after you move from seeing marijuana, you have to hit the big stuff. Kind of the same thing. I can't go investigate a house that is a haunted squirrel is in. You know, we got to do something huge and big. You know, like maybe go talk to Dalai Lama and talk about the ghosts of Tibet and those kind of things.
Well, kind of touched upon something that another chat room questionnaire wanted to ask you. Vibrations. We know that everything vibrates. We know that, and the belief is that vibrations are neither good nor bad. They're neutral, except that they are influenced by either humans or spiritual beings. Do you think at a place like that hotel, do you think that there is some cut? There's something there that just affects that vibration negatively? And of course, the natural law is like attracts like. Brings these types of people into a place like that?
Absolutely. Without a doubt. That's the whole theory. There's no bad energy. There's no bad energy. There's no good energy. It's just energy. It's what you make it. You're in a bad mood, you can make a beautiful day into something pretty miserable.
Absolutely.
Pretty fast.
Absolutely.
Talking to a gentleman that I very much respect, Barry Taft, the parapsychologist of the 70s, who had done the real entity case.
Right.
The entity case. His feeling is that houses aren't haunted, people are. They bring it with them. Why does that ghost keep following me? Well, we've moved three times and still following me. It's not following you. It's with you. It's
right.
You. And you manifest your own demons out of your own daughters. You can literally create your own living hell, if you would like, as much as you can create your own nirvana. It's up to you, and it's a very hard lesson to learn, but you're going to start playing with darkness. Darkness is going to come and get you. As well as I also believe the more positive and the light that you are, the darkness will also try to stop that as well. And so we have to put out solid, positive vibration, and you have to be very brave and very strong. And so almost, I use the word test of faith, because that's exactly what it is. It's, you know, what does it take to make you humble?
True.
If you can't be humble, you can move on.
True.
And you can be very strong.
Now, everybody, all these topics that we're talking about are in Christopher Booth's book, Paranoia. I love the book. I've read it. And really, I mean, and everybody knows, I really try to prep for all my guests when they come on, because they deserve my best. And this book is a great book. It's an easy read, and there's just so much in there, and there's so many topics, and there's so many locations, and there's so much, and Christopher's philosophy is in there. It's a wonderful book. It's just a wonderful book. I want to bring up one of your movies that one of your films I absolutely loved, and then that was Soul Catcher, because it was a masterful stroke of genius, in my opinion. It exposed a hidden side of the genocide of both Native American populace, but also their culture. And I believe anybody that has watched this film cannot help but shed a tear of the on the effect of what has happened to these beautiful people. These beautiful people. I gotta ask you, psychologically, was there a toll on your team as they were out there interviewing these people and they were sharing their stories of abuse and how the government wanted to eradicate their culture and assimilate them into, quote unquote, a civilized society? Was there something? Was there a lot of emotions that were spilled during the film of that, during the filming of that project?
Yeah, I mean, it was like basically everybody cries and they hug, you know.
Yeah,
it was like you have a really good cry and get it all out, and then you all hug, and then now let's get to work and do what we got to do. But like any story, it's important to tell the sadness as well as to tell the happiness. The Native American is truly the first genocide, way before Nazi Germany and all that, the sad things of the Jewish plight. But the Native Americans were the first genocide. Over 8 million were wiped off the face of the earth, to the point there was only hundreds of thousands left. They ended up not killing them all and then converting them to white.
Yes.
And it was a terrible plight. And what I learned of that made me really upset. I mean, more than sad, made me very upset that someone could do that to somebody. They were throwing them their disease blankets. I mean, would have disease blankets and throw them to the children so they would get, you know,
smallpox, yes.
Yellow, yeah, and all that.
Yeah.
And, they wouldn't make it through the night. So that show I loved because it truly was an elemental investigation more than paranormal. And elemental was very different, and I loved doing different stuff. And of course, I've always felt like I've been in touch with my Native American side, in the sense I loved the dress, I loved the spirit about it, I loved the whole concept of the environment and nature. So I was very much at home there, and I loved it, and they were great people to be worked with, and it was beautiful. Like any story, there's a lot of sadness, and we were very happy to tell the story. I think after we released that, we got thousands of emails immediately through that course of release of Soulcatcher from Native America saying, thank you very much for giving us a voice.
It's phenomenal.
And that was worth doing the show.
It was phenomenal, and thank you for doing it, because it really, when I see something like that, I have confidence that independent filmmaking is alive here in the United States, and there are people out there that care. And you and Philip are two people that definitely care. We've only got a couple minutes left already. This has been a phenomenal interview. It's been a quick show. Tell everybody how they can get your films, your movies, the DVDs. Tell them how they can order your book. Where are you going to be? Because I know you're one of the hardest working people out there in the paranormal field today.
Well, we've been on a tour for all this year, and it's coming to a rest. The next one is we're doing Ghost Con, which I'm hoping, I don't know if you're going to be able to make it. We'd love to hook up with you at the Ghost Conference, at Ghost Con in Chicago.
Yes.
Earthworld show. And we're doing that on October 2nd to 4th. And then we're doing a show in Owensboro on the week of October 16th and 17th, Ghost Con. And then we wrap that up in Mineral Springs in Texas. We go to Texas again, which is great. The book is available at paranoiabooks.com or at spooktv.com, www.spooktv.com. Our films are on Amazon Instant Video. If you're a Prime member, a lot of them are free for you. So you're lucky if you're a Prime member and on Amazon Instant Video. We have our own streaming site called SpookTV OD, so it's spooktv-od.com. All of our films are in high definition up there. Dead Still, our newest movie for sci-fi, will be coming out next year on DVD. And you're probably going to end up seeing it on television in the next few weeks if you're watching, because we're doing something very special.
That is
so
awesome.
I can't really talk too much about that right now. But just, yeah, you can find me on Facebook, Christopher St. Booth. on Facebook, and look for some new stuff that we're putting it out, and it'll be awesome. But I do appreciate the talking to you, Tim, again. It's been a long, long time, and hopefully I'll get to see you in Chicago.
As a matter of fact, I was invited there, but I'm performing a wedding that weekend for my cousin's daughter. So I'm going to have to miss that one, but we'll meet up. That's going to be, I have very few things in my bucket list right now, and meeting you and your lovely wife is probably right up on top of it. I really can't wait to see you, because I'm not only a fan, but I appreciate the positive words, the positive energy, the vibrations that you put out there. You're just not an artist. You're just not a filmmaker. You are a philosopher, and you are someone who walks the walk. And so many people don't do that, my friend.
Well, thank you. I just look at myself as somebody that wants, that's not accepting what life has been giving out. And I think everybody can do the same thing. You just got to say enough is enough. And I understand that with insecurity. I understand all about that. But at least everybody make the first step to changing their life to being the person that they want to be. Because then, you know, there's nothing nicer than truly being happy and being happy with your shell.
Exactly.
Instead of trying to, you know, take it off.
My friend, I'm going to have to...
Thank you so much, Tim.
I love you guys. Thank you so much for being on. And again, you are one of the true good people out there in the industry. So thank you for that. Have a blessed day. Have a great weekend. And we'll be in touch real soon. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And that, my friends, was the one and only Christopher St. Booth. And quickly, do good works. Don't be a self-created victim. And what else? I'll see you all in the cheap seats. Have a good night.
You have been listening to the Black Cat Lounge on the Para-X Radio Network. Para-X.com.